Joining WFIR anchor senior reporter Gene Moreno and me once again live in studio this morning is 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein with no shortage of issues to talk about. Congressman, always good to have you. Thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Joey. Gene, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Well, as we get started, Congressman, I guess let's begin with redistricting. If the referendum were to go through on April 21st, despite injunction yesterday in Tazewell County Circuit Court, what would your district look like?
Oh, man, they have taken a wrecking ball to this state. The Democrats have been destroying our election laws, destroying our economy, destroying our business climate. It's ridiculous. And their reward is to put Spanberger on as the response to the State of the Union. It's a mess, and their proposed districts are a mess. And we're just optimistic the courts are going to see the power grab for what it is and knock it down here in the next week.
So I guess A.G. Jones has filed an appeal with the Virginia Supreme Court?
He has stated his intent to appeal. I don't know if that's probably going to come today, and we'll hopefully hear from the Supreme Court in the next few weeks that the way they went about this political power grab and the laws that were broken and the violations of the Constitution just render it void.
Talk about, Congressman Ben Klein with us today, talk about when you do something like this, this drastic, this close to an election, does it have a tendency maybe to disenfranchise voters that's confused about who they're supposed to vote for?
Absolutely. The way the Democrats have rolled this out, they put the first question, action of the legislature, right before the last November's election. Then they passed it again in the first week of the new session and scheduled it for voters on April 21st. But the question is worded in such a slanted way that it's not fair to voters. They are not used to voting on in April. Their primary season is June. Regular voting is November. So to ask voters to go vote on a question that is misleading on its face, that they haven't been educated about, and now you're seeing millions of dollars in ads from the pro camp that picture Republicans and are talking about election fairness. So they're misleading, trying to get voters to vote a certain way. And voters hopefully will just reject all of this nonsense and vote no.
And that was one of the things opponents were objecting to was the word fairness in the referendum.
Yeah, restore fairness in the question. Essentially telling the Supreme Court what you did when you drew our districts under nonpartisan redistricting back in 2021 was unfair. And so now voters are supposed to be asked to restore fairness. But that's ridiculous on its face, and that's one of the complaints that the judge in Tazewell, Judge Hurley said, was against the Constitution and against the statutes and had to be thrown out.
One more question about this before we move on. What do you say, Congressman, to people who feel President Trump started this whole thing by getting Texas to redraw new GOP-leaning lines? Don't you think most people maybe see it as the same thing happening in Virginia?
Gosh, no. The Constitution is clear. In Virginia, we adopted a nonpartisan process, 2-1 by a 2-1 margin back in 2020. Texas doesn't have anything in their constitution about what they can do. And in fact, it was New York that was doing it under Biden before Donald Trump even talked about Texas redrawing its lines. So New York was really the first one after the 2021 redistricting that tried to redraw their lines to hurt Republicans. This is all a mess. Just because another state is going to do something wrong doesn't mean we should follow suit. Virginia should be proud of its nonpartisan redistricting and vote no to undo it on April 21st.
And we're talking with Congressman Ben Klein. Let's talk about Department of Homeland Security funding. Doesn't sound right to have our security branch unfunded or people working without pay, but can the two parties, Congressman, come to some kind of compromise? You know, people see things on TV during these immigration raids, and it's been bad optics at the very least. Could ICE change their tactics? Do you see any room for negotiation, a middle ground, to get this thing, off square one?
Absolutely. We can definitely improve the way that ICE operates, but we're not going to put at risk the safety of the federal law enforcement officers. These individuals put their lives on the line, and for them to be threatened or faced with violence is unacceptable. So what we do have to do is make sure they can still do their jobs. Protest is part of the American way. We should all get to exercise our First Amendment rights. But what you can't do is interfere with law enforcement in the lawful enforcement of our laws. And that's what ICE is doing. There are 10 million people here illegally. Many of them have committed heinous acts of criminal violence. and need to be arrested and removed. And so when they are doing their jobs, you don't get in the way.
Are there any particular facets of what the Democrats want, either take your mask off or be ID'd or judicial warrants before you can enter a home? Any of that you can, as an attorney yourself, any of that you can live with?
I think that there are ways that individual officers, while protecting their anonymity while they are in their law enforcement capacity, having numbers, identification numbers, those are types of things that I think we can come to an agreement on. But removing your mask and allowing these anti-ICE people to take pictures, to dox, to put personal information online, to endanger their families, to endanger their homes, that's unacceptable. These federal law enforcement officers should be able to carry out their law enforcement duties and without threats of violence or harm.
So do you expect a vote? You're back in Congress next week. Do you expect some kind of vote on DHS funding with maybe some kind of compromise? And how serious is it to not have DHS unfunded for X amount of time?
It's very serious. ICE is just a small part of Homeland Security.
And they have some money, right?
They do. They were given a lot of money under the Big Beautiful Bill, and now they really only have about $10 billion out of the $170 billion in their budget riding on this bill. So what we're really talking about is airport security not being able to comply, FAA not being able to operate, so the planes aren't going to be able to take off. And, you know, when that's why I'm optimistic this is going to get resolved, because when senators can't fly back and forth to their states anymore, that's when they end up cutting deals. And that's about to start getting serious for these senators to be able to fly to their vacation spots and all that kind of thing. So we hope they'll come to an agreement here soon.
All right, it's 8:50 at WFIR, 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein with us in studio this morning. Congressman Klein, the SAVE Act requires voters to provide documentary proof of citizenship at the time of registration and a photo ID at the time of voting. Aren't citizens the only ones to vote now? Opponents say many congressmen don't have easy access to maybe a birth certificate or a passport. They call it voter suppression. Congressman, does the Senate still need to take this up?
Absolutely. I mean, it's common sense. It's not just an 80-20 issue, as they say, an 80% support issue. This is a 95-5 issue. 95% of the American people support using an ID to vote. This is a serious citizen activity that we engage in. When you're asking somebody for an ID to just go to the movies or go to the bank, or our day-to-day actions throughout our lives require us to carry IDs. And what we're asking for when we talk about proof of citizenship is to register to vote. So you have to provide registration, citizenship to register to vote. But to actually vote on Election Day, all you need is a photo ID. This is common practice across Western countries. If you go to Europe, they require photo IDs to vote. A lot of different countries do. So for us to do that is just common sense.
What do you say about the argument? Well, it's very rare. Non-citizens don't vote. It's almost an anomaly or something. So this is overkill or something.
I don't think it's overkill. It's just common sense. There are lots of cases where there are examples of people who should not be voting. When I was a prosecutor in Harrisonburg, there were cases involving college students at JMU who were voting in their old state where their parents lived, and then coming to Virginia and voting in Harrisonburg. And you know, the Commonwealth Attorney's Office prosecuted those cases because that was election law violation. So these types of things occur. They're just not uncovered very easily or very regularly. And when they do occur, we need to prosecute them.
You know, it makes me think of another question, and maybe this is part of the president's reasoning, calling for the nationalization of elections. When you have things like that where one state's not communicating with another on who has voted where, is that a case for federal elections for some type of nationalization or standardization?
Well, the Constitution says that election laws are administered by the states. And so in Virginia, we have a good system. It's always getting tweaked. It's always getting improved. I think that we erred when we put in all this early voting, 45 days of early voting. It's pretty ridiculous. But I do think that ultimately the security of our elections here in Virginia is good. But we can nationally, the problem is, while we can put in place some common sense measures like photo ID, you don't want to get into the minutia of regulating local elections, because then depending on who's in control, they can put barriers to certain groups or other kinds of actions that harm the voting process nationally.
We talk with Congressman Ben Klein. A couple of minutes, Congressman, wanted to ask you about something else. Representative Democrat Don Bacon has introduced a bill to give Congress some oversight over pardons, taking into consideration, he says, how the president has issued them, drawing some criticism at times from both sides of the aisle. What's your feeling on that? Should there be some type of oversight by Congress of the way a president, no matter who the president is, issues pardons?
You know, we have that oversight ability. Congress has broad oversight authority, and we exercise it, so we can have hearings on it. But at the end of the day, the Constitution gives the president very broad pardon authority, and he's got to be able to defend those pardons. He's made some controversial ones, and he defends them, and it's up to him to decide who he pardons and who he doesn't.
Mm-hmm. I did want to ask you, State of the Union is coming up on mm-hmm. Tuesday. We're going to carry the State of the Union, and Governor Spanberger's opposition, voice. What do you expect to hear from the president? Do you expect President Trump to put out any kind of a conciliatory tone, or what? Would you like to see some type of conciliatory tone?
Well, I'd like to see a conciliatory tone from Spanberger. She has stood against President Trump. When President Trump wanted to provide assistance to Virginia, she said she wouldn't meet with him. She had no interest in working with him to help Virginia. And so it's very disappointing to hear that rhetoric. She campaigned as a moderate. She's governing as a liberal. I'd like to hear an explanation for that. But from Trump, it's going to be talking a lot about the economic improvements that we're seeing from the Biden administration, inflation from 10% in Biden down to 2.8% under Trump, the peace that we're seeing around the world, the victories at home domestically, we're making sure that the border is secure, crime is down, and he's going to be talking a lot about the great things that are happening across this country.
All right. Talking to Congressman Ben Klein, a couple of minutes left. The president, and I haven't seen the details yet, but he's made an announcement about healthcare legislation, some kind of putting something on the table. Are you interested in finding out about that? And can there be something put in place that'll make people that lost their subsidy premiums feel better?
Absolutely. We can do some things to our healthcare markets to make them better. Obamacare destroyed our health insurance markets and threw millions off of their policies. Tom Perriello from Charlottesville, former member, voted for that and is now complaining about healthcare. But you know what? When you broke it, you bought it. So these Democrats who broke our healthcare system are now complaining that the government isn't doing enough to fix healthcare. I think more options, more choices for people to get the healthcare that's right for them and their family. We need to deregulate and help lower the costs. That's what it's about. It's about these high costs of insurance.
And the president puts some of the blame on insurance companies, the profit motive, that type of thing. Do you think insurance companies will come to the table?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that insurance companies definitely will come to the table because they've been hamstrung by Obamacare for so many years. They haven't been able to offer catastrophic care policies. They haven't been able to offer low-cost, low-premium policies. They've had to have this huge cafeteria offering of inclusive coverage for all of these different treatments in every policy, which makes every policy that much more expensive. And we have to allow people to pick and choose what's right for them.
I got about a minute left with Congressman Ben Klein. I wanted to ask you, once a lot of this noise is out of the way, the DHS funding, things like that, any particular bills that you're pursuing or co-sponsoring that would directly impact Virginia, say, over the next 6 months?
Yeah, we definitely need to address high energy bills. What we're seeing right now is the greenification of our energy grid, and it's making costs skyrocket. Everybody's seeing what the impact of Democrats in Virginia putting a Green New Deal on our energy companies, Dominion and AEP, and then what's happening at the federal level, what the Biden administration did. Trump is taking that off, but the Virginia legacy is still there. In fact, they're doubling down in Richmond on making energy costs higher and making our energy bills worse. So we need to take more action in Washington to address that.
But real quickly, is it part of the problem that the energy companies are putting too much of these green energy initiatives on the back of ratepayers?
Well, they are the ones being ordered by the state government to shift to solar, to shift to wind, these inefficient means of producing electricity. And then they should be trying to make it as efficient as possible for ratepayers. But at the end of the day, when, you know, when solar and wind are your sources of power, it's going to cost a lot, and ratepayers are going to get the raw end of the deal. That's why we need more coal, more nuclear, more of all of the different fossil mm-hmm. fuels to help lower costs.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman Ben Klein, thanks for joining us again this morning. Great to see you.
Thanks again.